kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Have a title today for our teaching, and we're calling this Guard Your Hearts Against Envy. Guard your hearts against envy. Now, why am I choosing such a subject like this today? Something we all know about, something that we've all suffered from, experienced. But why is it so important? Well, you know, the Word of God always continues to open our eyes, doesn't he? And turn with me, if you will, to James 3:16. James 3 and verse 16, because this tells us why we're going to talk about this today. Guard your hearts against envy. That's what we're looking at today. Now, this verse says very clearly here, for where envy and self-seeking exists, confusion and every evil thing are there. Note the wording. It's emphasizing on envy, which is all about self, me, what I want. It creates confusion, strife. And it then says, every evil thing are there. So envy tells us clearly from the Word of God that it is evil. In fact, we could say it is the root of evil. It's what we have in the world. It's what exists because of fallen man, a fallen world. And indeed, brothers and sisters, it's what God is delivering and bringing us out from. And that's why I'm starting with this verse, because you probably read this many, many times, that you've never considered it's every evil thing. Every evil thing that we know of, that we can think about, or whatever it would be, comes from envy. The root of envy. Now, it's very interesting that when you look into a dictionary to describe what this word is, the noun is a feeling of discontent or covetousness with regard to another's success or possessions or advantage that they have. So it's feeling very unsatisfied. It brings out all that greed, that covetousness with regard to another person who is succeeding, who's doing well, who has possessions and so on. All sounds very familiar, doesn't it? And the verb to this is to envy someone who, for example, has done well in an exam. Where you've both taken an exam, you've not done so well, but somebody else has done extremely well. You become very envious. Or somebody who gets promotion at work and you don't. You become envious of it, or envious of their possessions, or a new car that they have bought, or whatever it is. It all sounds so very familiar, and it's something that we've all battled with. And maybe we still are at times battling with this. Now, these are strong demonic spirits. These are demons that work in the world, in society, in the family, in every environment. How do we know they're strong? Because we've all been attacked by them. We all know what they're capable of doing, how they can get a hold of us in our mind and thinking and heart and so on. So this is very strong demonic forces that work in the world. And the enemy knows how to use this. Why is it so strong? Because it's also the devil's problem. The devil is envious of God. We know this because he tried to be God in the heavens. And we know that he took a third of the angels with him who believed that he could be God. He could usurp the throne of heaven. Why did he do this? Because he was envious. He was jealous. He wanted that power. He wanted what God had got. And as a result of it, he instantly fell from the presence of Almighty God. So we see the Bible clearly shows us that rebellion started first in the heavens, before the world and man was created. So God knew what was going on. And that is why when God created the world and he placed Adam, Eve in the garden, he placed them there to protect them from what had already happened, the rebellion in the spiritual realm. It had already happened. So he didn't want Adam, Eve to know anything about envy, jealousy, or anything. That was not what they were to created for, to experience or know. But sadly, through the fall, we know the story, we now are subject to Satan's problem. He now has infected the world with his problem, his envy, his jealousy against God. And so whatever God does, God redeems those whom he redeems by the blood of Jesus, he is envious of that. He is jealous of that. He doesn't want man to be won back to God. That is why he tries to afflict and control the church with this problem. As a pastor over the years, I've encountered this problem amongst believers more than anything else in counseling and in deliverance and casting out demons. This is a huge problem in the house of God. But God is on the throne and he is provided through the blood of the Lamb, and he works and sets that deliverance in our hearts so that we're not plagued with this envy, this jealousy that controls, that makes us sin, that makes us do things that force on the standard of Almighty God. So there is the dictionary's definition of envy. We get envy, jealousy in the Bible. It's from cover to cover. And we see also saints that were afflicted, hindered by this. In fact, the first sin, the sin of Cain slaying Abel, his brother, he was envious of his brother. Why was he envious? Because he offered a better sacrifice to God. Abel didn't take it so seriously. It wasn't such a problem. He didn't see the revelation of sacrifice. And brothers and sisters, that still goes on today in the house of God. There are still those who confess themselves as Christians, but have never really understood sacrifice. How we offer the best to God. They've never really understood Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. Where we present ourselves, we place our heart on that altar. That is the only thing we can give back to God. Because as we know, salvation is the grace and mercy of God. It is a gift. But there are those in the house of God who don't see that sacrifice as God sees it, as God accepts it. And there we have it, right in the first sin that took place with Cain and Abel, those two brothers. He slew him because he was envious. He saw that God was blessing him. He saw that God had received his offering. There was something that stirred in Abel. What was that? It was the devil. It was Satan's problem. And Satan was able to have access into Abel. And as a result, Abel slew his brother. The first murder. That is why James says, every evil thing are there with confusion. It is the root of evil. And that's why we're addressing this today, brothers and sisters. I'm reminded of another story in the Bible. How about Naboth, his vineyard? And Jezebel became aware that her husband, King Ahab, he wanted that vineyard. He was envious because it was fruitful. God was blessing it. And we know the story, don't we, where Jezebel, she gave it to her husband by having Naboth executed. There we are, a terrible crime committed through envy, through jealousy. I'm reminded of King Saul when he sinned and God called King David. You see the strife there where King David became a fugitive for years, fleeing from Saul. Why? Because Saul was envious, jealous of David. Why was he? Because he knew God's hand was on him. The anointing was on him. You see, the powers of darkness use this in people. They provoke. They cause them to commit these crimes. The same type of crime that Satan did in trying to usurp the throne of God, through envy, through jealousy. And so these demons are stirred up in people and they commit these crimes. Heinous crimes are committed through envy. Hitler was envious of the Jews because they were blessed. Many of them were bankers and held a lot of power in the world. Envy again. It's everywhere. You've got it in your family. You've got it around in your neighborhood. We've got it in governments. We've got it everywhere. This envy, this jealousy that eats away. And these heinous crimes are committed as a result. This is why God has set deliverance over us, brothers and sisters. I don't think we appreciate what we're being brought out from and delivered from. We're being set free from this thing that can control and move one to do the things that one does. We know we've sinned through this. We've all of us experienced what envy, jealousy does. It eats away like cancer. As I said, these are strong demonic spirits that work. How do we know the manifestation of envy? Well, there are certain things that God has revealed to me that saints can still have a problem with. In the house of God, envy can create moodiness. I'm not saying that you happen to be moody, but these are traits that are seen in our character, our personality. They come up periodically. This is a sign there's a problem. and healing, deliverance is needed. Or depression. Depression can be caused by envy, jealousy. This is why it's so epidemic today, that so many people have problems with depression. But do your psychologists and psychiatrists, do they go to the root of envy and jealousy in a person? No, they can't change the heart. Only God can do that. Or you find that envy causes people to be quarrelsome. They like to quarrel. They like to get back at a person because they're envious of them. And so they can't speak positively about them. They want to pick on their weak spots, or they just want to pick a quarrel with them. Again, we know people, or maybe that was your problem that God's delivered you from. And rebellion, which is rife again in these last days. Rebellion can be as a result of being envious, jealous, and sulking, just general sulking and moodiness, because I can't have my own way. I'm envious, and so on. We all know it. Why do we know it? Because that is what we're being delivered from. Even the psalmist, David himself, at times, when he cried out to God, he said, Lord, why is it the rebellious, the world, seem to be blessed? They don't seem to have any problems. They don't seem to have any problem. They have no fear of God before them. They do what they want to do and everything. And here we are. We're trying to do right. We're trying to do God's will and everything. And we're nothing but a laughing stock. Why is it that the righteous suffer and the unrighteous get away with it? Oh, I even know that one, brothers and sisters. There are times I've had to battle that feeling, that envy. When in your heart you want to do God's will, you want to do it his way, and it just seems you're laughed at, you're ridiculed. It seems they get away with it. Oh, you read the Psalms. It's all there. Why? Because we're dealing with this problem of envy. And the enemy knows how to use it. But praise God, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Well, let's look at a few scriptures as to what this then speaks about. We've already looked at James 3:16. What does Job have to say about it? Job 5:2-3. Job 5:2-3. For wrath kills a foolish man, and envy slays a simple one. I have seen the foolish taking root. There we are. So Job, in his deep trials and what he's going through, he says, I've seen wrath, it kills. And envy slays a simple one. He's aware that much crimes are committed through envy. How about Proverbs? Let's turn to Proverbs. Proverbs 23 and verse 17. Proverbs 23:17. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord. But be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. So there we are. The fear of the Lord helps deal with that envy. So he says, do not let your heart envy sinners. Exactly what the psalmists at times battle with. It's what you battle with, I battle with sometimes. Because it just seems that everything goes their way. And doesn't the enemy use it? See, God isn't faithful. God isn't answering your prayers. God isn't with you. Look at the world. They're doing well. It's so easy to feel like that. And we have to battle it. But we know the world is coming under judgment. We know what God says. Judgment is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord does hear us. We know that this is a huge, huge problem because Romans chapter 1 tells us. Romans chapter 1 and verse 29. Romans chapter 1 is a clear analogy of the last days that we live in. If you want to know the last days we're living in, you read Romans chapter 1. Absolutely clear. But what does it say in verse 29? Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceitful, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. There you are. That's what's happening today with technology, AI, artificial intelligence. All here, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only to do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. They're the days we're living in now, brothers and sisters. That's happening before our very eyes. But what does he say? He uses maliciousness, full of envy. There's the root of it that's creating all that list that we've just read there to you. And it all boils down. It's the devil's problem. And the devil deceives the world with his problem. His hate of God, his jealousy of God, his envy of God. Isn't it awful? This is why there's going to be such torment in hell. Because when man goes to hell, he will see that the devil put that on him. He believed the devil's lie. He believed the devil's problem. He rejected the good news of the gospel, that he could be delivered from that. That is what's so heinous about all of this, so awful. That is why we're a light. The church is a light set on a hill. This is why the gospel is such a good news. Let God put that boldness within our hearts and our tongues to share this good news. Because look what's going to happen to man. He's believing the devil's lie, the devil's problem. Because he thought he could be God. He was envious. He was jealous of God. And now he is plagued with that problem. He is tormented with that problem. That is why he's going to have the most severest punishment in the lake of fire and brimstone. Do you know the lake of fire and brimstone? Hell was not created for man. It was created for Satan and the fallen angels. But man will land there as well in that place. We will never understand God's heart over this. This is something that is in God's heart that he'll never fully reveal. We don't know whether God can have a broken heart in that sense. Manifested in his Son, Jesus Christ, yes, he has. His heart was broken. His heart was broken on that cross. as he became that sin bearer, taking the sin of the world upon his shoulder. His heart was broken as his father separated. He turned his face away from him in his flesh, as he took in his flesh the sin of the world. My God, why have you forsaken me? But that was the mind and wisdom and heart of God reconciling us back to Almighty God. All what Satan had done. That is why I make so much of the gospel, because it is such good news to those being saved. And we are being saved. It's good news to us because we're here today. We want to listen to it. We want to get that change, that deliverance. We don't want that envy, that jealousy, afflicting, holding us back. With the future that we have, with the blessings that we have, with our Father that we have, how could we even entertain it? But I'm aware how subtle the devil is and how he tries to work through our trials and our tribulations. And when we feel a bit down, or we're battling depression, or it just seems, you know, that nothing's going my way. But praise God, it doesn't last. It only is just for a season. And we know that. And even God is using those trials, isn't he, in which to work a greater and stronger faith within us. Praise his name. Hallelujah. What does it say in 1 Peter chapter 2? 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 1 to 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 1 to 2. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. So we're told, aren't we, to lay aside. Lay it to one side. Don't let it be a problem. Now, of course, some of us, we know we need to have deliverance. And God has set that deliverance. That's why I'm such a believer that the word of God that is taught under the anointing delivers us. And it will remove those oppressions. It will close those doors in our mind where we've had these problems in the past. And so we can lay aside malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. There's our deliverance, brothers and sisters. And that's why we're calling this teaching, Guard Your Hearts Against Envy. We all have to be on our guard with this, you see. And that's why we're separated unto God, and we have to be careful who we associate with. This is vital for us. We have to be on our guard each day when we meet people, whether it be at work or at the shops, even sadly with our own families. We have to be on our guard. What are we on our guard for? Because we can battle this envy, this jealousy that the enemy can get in so subtly. There are times when we can envy the world. As I've said, because they do what they want to do. They seem to have no conscience. It seems that they get away with it. But it's only for a season. God has put restraints on us, brothers and sisters, because he loves us. And that's what any parent who loves their child will do, will put restraints on them. Because it's protection. And God loves us and he's protecting us. And he's certainly going to protect us against envy and jealousy that can try and work. You see, only God can remove the world out of our hearts. Only God can restore us back whole, mind, body and spirit. And that's why the deeper life is such a whole work. It's a complete work, a wholeness of mind, body and spirit. And this is why we trust the Lord with our bodies, with our flesh. And he is delivering us from trusting in the arm of the flesh. He's delivering us from all the pressures of this vaccine that they're trying to get us to take. He's delivering us from all of that. He's showing us what the side effects will be from this. The world hasn't seen yet what is going to come as a result of these vaccines. How that it is affecting the immunity and will do. We've said before that this is like a Trojan horse set into the system. And these are things now that God is delivering his people from. Don't listen to the threats. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Oh, well, you won't be able to do this. You won't be able to travel or whatever it is. They are the giants trying to deceive us. That is the roar of the enemy, because that is all he can do, is make a noise. And sadly, most of the world are in fear and they listen to it. Brothers and sisters, we're seeing the results of what's coming. Interesting, even the national papers, some of them, I believe yesterday, reported that the hospitals, the NHS, are inundated with a lot of people coming with headaches, symptoms from this Oxford vaccine. It's even gone public now. And of course we've heard that there are clots, and there are some countries at the moment who banned it. But now the hospitals are getting people coming in with headaches, types of migraines. And what do you see when you read it? Well, the results of having the vaccine outweigh the side effects. How deceived have people become? And this is going to get worse. As we see what happens, we know that a lot of this is not put in your main newspapers. They don't want you to hear this. They don't want you to hear these side effects that are happening around the world. It's being suppressed, but they will not be able to suppress it for much longer. It's going to come out, and it is coming out. Because we know what lies behind all of this. We know that this is planned. We know that this is bringing the new order in, the new reset. Life has changed and will change now. This is setting the scene for the last days. This is setting it for the Antichrist to come. And this is why, brothers and sisters, we at the moment are still that light in this world to expose, and our prayers will expose what is going on. Our prayers will expose the elite that are behind this. They have to reduce the world, the population. There's too many of us. They have to reduce it. Why? Because they're bringing in technology. They're bringing in AI, artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence doesn't need many people. Your cars are going to be driven by robots. Much of your hospitals, your doctors, your nurses, AI will take over. Many jobs in the banks, industry, will be taken over by AI. It's already happening. There's nothing new what I'm saying. And so you have to reduce the population. There's too many of us. I went to the shops only last week and they said, oh, can you check yourself out, self out? We don't take cash here. And I looked at her and I said, this is doing you out of a job, isn't it? And do you know what? She didn't know what to say to me. She looked surprised at what I said, that of something that is so obvious. They cannot discern between their left and their right hand. It's shouting out at us loud and clear, and yet the world is being deceived by this. What is behind it? The powers of darkness. The powers of darkness are setting up the Antichrist world and system. And that is what is happening. And many Christians and churches are blinded to this. This is why we need to pray for our brothers and sisters, that their eyes will be opened to see what's happening. You've got churches that are giving blessings to this vaccination. And brothers and sisters, this isn't going to stop. They have many more vaccines in the pipeline they're now going to introduce. And it won't be a vaccine much longer. It'll be a pad that will be placed on your arm with little pinpricks. And we all know what it's leading towards. That chip that will be injected into the right hand or into the forehead, which is the mark of the beast. These vaccines, which is genetic engineering, alters your DNA. That is the root behind this. They are injecting nanotechnology into it. Do you know what that is? It's like software you put into a computer is going to be placed into you so that you can be detected 24/7. From space. They will know where you are. They will be able to check your health. They will be able to check your temperature. They will be able to see what's going on in you. They will know when you're asleep. They will know when you're awake. They will know when you're having sex. They will know if you've got blood pressure or whatever it is. They will know everything about you. That is what's going on. God never created man for that. Only God has that power over us. And yet he's given us that freedom as well. That is absolute bondage. It's the epitome of witchcraft, control. Why am I making so much of this? Because it's all the root of envy and jealousy. Satan is envious and jealous of God. And that's why he fell. And that is the corruption, the lie that he puts on the world. But praise God, the blood of Jesus has set you and I free. He set us free to be able to discern, to be able to see. Blessed are your eyes, brothers and sisters, for what you are seeing, for the truth that is setting us free. We are so blessed, and we are so blessed, that's why we have the power to be able to pray and go into warfare and to war against these powers and principalities, all the while still the church is here. Because once the church has been removed, then it's judgment. It's going to be completely different. But all the while, the overcomers, the church is still here. All the while, you still have breath. You have the Holy Ghost in your heart, your life. You can pray. You can intercede for God's mercy. And he is having mercy. And there is going to be some exposures. And they're coming. I know at the moment it seems as though very little is happening. It seems as though the devil's having the upper hand all the time. But God is going to answer our prayers. And I know some of you, you've been in deep prayer, you've been in fastings, you've taken on the burdens of God in this. I know this. Don't become envious of the world. Don't become envious of the wicked. Their day is coming, brothers and sisters. Is coming. And God will avenge. God will avenge those who cry day and night unto him. God will hear the prayer of a righteous man because it avails much before him. If God be for us, who can be against us? We are on the right track, brothers and sisters. We are moving forward with this. God has not made a mistake in what he's revealing and showing us. Stay with it. I know the devil's wanted me to back off in all of this. I thought, I'm fed up with this. I can't take any more of this. It's nothing but hassle. It's nothing but attack. And then the Lord just comes in, doesn't he? And says, just trust me. I'm in control. And then, of course, it gives itself away, doesn't it? Why is the devil attacking? Why is he trying to get us to back off in all of this? It gives itself away because he fears. He fears what the Holy Spirit is revealing to us. He fears because God has given us authority with those weapons that war in the heavens against the powers of darkness. That is what the church is rising up now in her warfare. She's now having her eyes open to those weapons that God has given to us through the mighty name of Jesus. Don't give up. Don't retract. Now is not the time. We stand together in this, in our prayers, our intercessions, because God will expose, he will bring this out into the light. This is what he does. And the powers of darkness in all of this have to be exposed and seen. And they are and they will. Don't give up. God loves us. He's with us. But he has to do a work in our hearts, doesn't he? He still has to do that deliverance, that healing. Because he doesn't want anything within us to hinder what we're in. This warfare that we're in. So that we stand right, clean before him. Satan has no part in us. Hallelujah. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Well, there we are. Guard your hearts against envy. We've had a look at this today. We all can put our name and address on that because we've all suffered with it. We know what it's about. But the good news is that the Lord is setting us free from all of this. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for our fellowship. Thank you for speaking to us, encouraging us, helping us, Lord. We know we're on the right track. We know, Father, that you are delivering us. You're setting us free from the powers of darkness. You're setting us free from trusting in the arm of the flesh. You are providing for us. You are looking after us. You are looking after our bodies. You created, you made us. You made our immune system. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for Jesus' victory at the cross, triumphing over the powers of darkness. We thank you, Lord, that our victory, our power doesn't lie in us. It lies in you, in that priceless holy name. And so, Lord, I pray you'll bless, preserve and keep each of my brother and sister. Keep them in the faith. Let their faith fail not. Let them wax stronger and bolder. Be with them. Give your angels charge over them. Lord, give them the words, the wisdom. Use their hands to heal the sick and to raise the dead. bringing along their path those that you are calling from the foundation of the world. Give them the words. Give them the wisdom, the unction of the Spirit, that souls will be wonderfully born into the kingdom of God. Lord, you've entrusted us, the church, with that. We don't proclaim a denomination. We don't proclaim a ministry, a man. We proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God. Father, thank you that you are restoring in these last days. We're in the times of restoration, where you're bringing us back under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ and not under man and bondage. You've set us free. You've delivered us. You've brought us out of religion and bondage. We thank you, Father, for this. We thank you, Lord, that you're bringing together brothers and sisters of like mind and heart and spirit who love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind and being. Thank you, Father. It is a privilege. I find it a privilege, Lord, to be able to share this word with my brothers and sisters. Lord, what have we done? Nothing. It is all your mercy, your grace. Because you first loved us. And so thank you today. Thank you for just being with us and speaking to us. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Jesus' name. Well, there we go. Guard your hearts against envy. That's what we've been looking at today. And I trust that it's helped, it's blessed. I know it's helped me.
Let him in constancy follow.